Did your husband show you the little meme that I sent him?
No. Uh-uh.
There is a picture. It's a little picture of Jeffrey Dahmer, who honestly looks like he could be Boogie's brother.
Oh, Lord.
Oh. Just say that.
Okay, yeah.
And then it says, psychologists claim that it's a huge red flag if you enjoy winding down by listening to true crime stories. And I sent it to your husband and I said, you want to tell her or should I?
How dare you? How dare you?
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
It's gonna be a great recording.
Sorry.
I just want to thank Tim and I both want to thank you and Ron for giving us the Tennessee cough. We really appreciate it.
You should have kissed me on the mouth.
You're right. Sorry about that. Yeah, so I hope you can do a lot of talking.
Well, mine, I will happy to report, is almost gone.
Okay. Good. So we'll get us in. Get us in and we'll see what happens.
Hey, all right. Welcome everybody to a very sick episode of Designer Cornbread.
That might get us good. That might get us good ratings or something.
No, I know. Episode 158.
Welcome. I'm sucking a cough drop. Because as you know, if you've been with us, I went down to Savannah and got sick. So thanks
Ron
a lot.
Shank started it. Ron Shank started. I was fine until Holly got here.
Yep.
About Saturday. Mm-hmm. About, well, yeah. And then I went down. And then now she's down and Tim's down.
And now Tim, he's home. He stayed home from, he's working from home today.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. And you know who we hung out with this weekend?
Oh.
Boogie. So it probably has gotten spread to,
okay.
You've probably spread it all the way to Iowa now.
Okay. All right.
So congratulations. Wow. Oh my goodness. Welcome everybody. I hope everyone is having a great week. A week's almost over by the time you hear this. That's what makes Thursday so great. It's Designer Cornbread Day. You get to listen to this. It's coming to the end of the week. You know, Thursdays are pretty great. It's one of my favorite days of the week. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love a Friday, but I love a Thursday. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. I love a Saturday.
I do
love a Saturday.
I do love a Saturday. And let's just go ahead and just really quickly discuss Saturday and football. And then we'll catch up and we'll get all your weekend and we'll get all your week. But I just need to get it out of the way because I'm disgusted.
Mississippi State just beat themselves.
Joni, I'm disgusted.
Yeah. 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 Pretty much every Mississippi State fan is disgusted.
I mean, for those of you who don't watch, which I don't know why, what's wrong with you, but if you're a glutton for punishment like we are, again, we've been, you know, Mississippi State is very, they're so, excuse me as I choke, they're so improved and so happy. They're doing very well. As we said, they played Tennessee at home. It's at in Starkville.
And tied.
Went to overtime, like took Tennessee to overtime and just lost in overtime. Really great performance.
Which really could have gone either way.
Could have gone either way. I mean, that was a close, could have, they very well could have beat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then this week, my brain is blank. I don't even know who we played. We played Florida.
And y'all.
Thank you.
We should have won. I mean, that was, we should have walked away with a win. We were down. We were, 2 points behind. It was a 2-point game, and we were in field goal range. All we had to do was kick a field goal.
Got into field goal. Well, decently into field goal range.
At the end of the game. Yeah, at the end of the game. And instead, they threw it, and it got intercepted.
They threw the ball.
Yeah.
Already in field goal range, which I understand maybe trying to get it better. But when you were seconds to go,
Yeah. No.
I mean, you're just at the end. Your last ditch thing is to at least try to get that field goal to win again against an SEC opponent. They haven't won in 2 years against, they've had two shots now. And I don't mean to take away, like I said, that's amazing. That's amazing that they have been within very winnable games against two SEC opponents.
So improved.
So great.
It was sheerly just a wrong call.
It was a wrong call.
I don't know who made that decision.
I don't know either.
I don't. But
they better not show their face in Starkville. I can tell you that right now.
That was not. Oh, people are like, it's time to fire somebody. I don't know who needs to be.
Which, calm down.
Yeah.
But it was It was literally heartbreaking. I literally was just disgusted because I was like, what? And they intercepted a big boy, just got it.
Yeah.
And there was no reason to be throwing that ball. If you're going to do something, run it. You know what I mean? Like if you really need to get in a better position, do a little more yards. I don't know what their kicker was feeling like. If you really needed to, you run the ball. Throw it up in the air.
No.
So we're disgusted. Right. And I will say too, they got there with no fluff. Fluff was out that game. Yeah. So we didn't even have our best running back. Mm. We had good ones. We still had Booth and other good ones, but Fluff was out and we still... And he's just a rushing machine. So I'm disgusted.
Yeah.
But on the other note, Billy Napier got fired after that game. So I think Mississippi State's scared the boosters. Got that.
Something. Yeah.
They
got
that extra push they needed to be like, and we're going to move on.
Yeah.
Okay. I got that out of my system. Thank you. Otherwise,
good now.
Fabulous.
About to explode.
I was about to explode. And really a great, again, another fantastic day of football though in the SEC. I mean, I kid you not. And I was sick. So it was perfect for me because I'm like, I am sitting here and watching. I did like a couple things and then I just sat and Vandy beat LSU.
Yeah.
And can I just say, I do have something to say about that.
Okay.
First of all, we've talked about it. It's very exciting and Vandy's having a great season. And you all know, I'm on record of saying that Brian Kelly does not belong at LSU. His face doesn't belong there. He doesn't look right. He's not the right coach. There's something about it that since day one, I've just been like, and I'm not saying he's not a great coach. I'm sure he probably is. But let me tell you what. During that game, they showed some clips, commentators, whatever, were showing clips of different press conferences that Brian Kelly's given. And I've seen a few, and he's a pretty feisty press conference giver. He's not a nice dude.
He's not Coach O.
He's not Coach O. Oh, I love Coach O. I think he got canceled, though, for something. So I don't, anyway, we digress. But he's not a very good, he's mean. Like, I don't like how he coaches. And a few of those clips they played, and I had seen this before, he was like, Gus needs to just play better, the quarterback. He threw his quarterback under the bus. Nussmeier, he just needs to play better. He needs to play better. And then at the end of that game, so you have a head coach at press conferences throwing his QB under the bus, basically blaming him for why they're not winning. And then after the game, the LSU Vandy, and it was at Vandy, it was in Nashville, so it was an away game. That adds a little more, to it. At the end of the game, Gus Nussmeier, the LSU quarterback, is on the sidelines with his head down under towel. He is crying. He looks like he's just bawling. At the end of that game, his head is down. And I'm like, so you've got a quarterback now who, after a defeat here, is in that kind of state and not head held high, not going to his teammates, not being able to be a leader. I'm not faulting him. I'm just saying that tells me the environment.
The spirit is broken.
The environment is not good when you have a loss like this and your quarterback is on the sideline at a away game in tears, looking to be, head down, hugging people, just absolutely not with his team, not being able to be a leader. And be with it, it just overcome. And I'm like, that's a coaching problem. LSU, all my relatives down there. I know. Listen, I know. I usually root for LSU. I like LSU, but I can't. There's a coaching problem down there. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But other than that, great games. Ole Miss, Georgia was a barn burner. I don't know if you saw any of that. But that was insane game down in Georgia. They scored every possession scored until the fourth quarter. Every time a team touched the ball, they either scored a touchdown or a field goal. I think it was like 40 to 35 or something by the end of the game. But Georgia did win, but it was a high scoring. There was no defense. There was zero defense, really. I think there was one stop, one or two at the end. Georgia finally stopped Ole Miss, but that was a barn burner. A&M, Arkansas. A&M barely pulled it out. I mean, we just said it was a great day in SEC football.
Great football game.
It was.
Great. I can't even speak. Great football weekend.
It really was, y'all. It was a good weekend to be sick. But anyway, now let's get to you and your life. You survived last week.
I survived, y'all, and it was hard.
it was hard.
It's just hard.
You can tell this tale to your future generations.
Oh my goodness. So I've had it down as crazy week in my calendar.
That's forever. Good. That's a good mindset. I'm glad you got that mindset.
And I told my kids Monday when I got there, I said, look, I'm really busy. I'm really overwhelmed. I'm really stressed out. When I start to lose it, y'all just look at me and say, choose joy. And actually, that turned into a good lesson because I was like, look, life is not easy. And you determine your attitude. That's
yep.
it.
Yep.
You're either going to be, you know, lose it and be miserable, or you can, you know, find something to laugh at. Choose joy. Choose joy. So they would look at me occasionally and go, choose joy, Miss Shank. Choose joy.
Did you punch any of them in the face when they
I
said
that? I did not.
That?
Oh, no. Okay, I was smiled at them and changed my attitude. Mm-hmm. Turned my frown upside down. No. So Tuesday we had farm to table, which was down at the farmer's market. And I mean, we made the theme of it was this little piggy went to market. So it focused on the pork industry. Mm-hmm. And we made sausage balls, ham balls, little mini BLTs. This is just for the appetizer table. Smoked bologna. I honestly can't remember what all we made.
You made some kind of tenderloin.
Yes. So that was the main meal. Okay. Oh, we had little cornbread squares and it had barbecue on top of it and then slaw on top of that. And it was just a little, you know, appetizer thing.
Man, that sounds amazing.
And then we had blackberry pork tenderloin. And we had Coach Wes's ribs, and we did garlic roasted potatoes and cinnamon carrots and a vegetable medley and little apple pies and some soup. But
oh my gosh.
I think.
I just can't imagine. That's so much.
It's a lot.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And it's one thing to do it in my environment where I've got my warmers and everything's controlled and. You know, but this, I had to haul everything down to the farmer's market.
I cannot even.
And so I think everything was good except my vegetable medley because, I mean, we did it tender crisp, but I didn't have a choice. I had to put the lid on it.
You can't, there's not much you can do.
Warm and then put it in the hot box to transport it. It was just mush, you know, I mean, it just wasn't.
The vegetable medley didn't make it, didn't quite make it.
No.
To the level. So, okay.
That went, and then we had to come right back in on Wednesday and do the meal for all of it for their Wednesday night meal, which is about 100 people. And then we had to come back in and start making breakfast foods because on Friday morning we catered the college and career breakfast at the high school for about 50 people.
Okay.
So I added it all up. I finally sat down and added it all up. And from Sunday to Friday, I worked an extra 18 hours. that I don't get paid for.
So. That's a lot. That's a lot of hours. Plus the planning ahead of that, I would say, like you were planning over your break.
I was planning,
and I mean, you
know,
sure. And going to the store and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. That's a lot of work. I mean, that's pretty impressive. The pictures that you posted on Facebook of the farm to table, I have to say they looked so good. The table looked so good. And then all your students had these really nice matching aprons. They looked really professional and cute, and they looked good.
A great bunch of students this year.
They looked good.
And even at the news station out of Jackson, Tennessee showed up and they put them on. And there were a lot of people there, you know, professional people taking pictures, and they got a lot of pictures of my kids now. And I don't know exactly
who did it or where to get them. Interesting. I wonder who you could reach out to. I'm sure who headed up this event.
It was the Hardin County Tourism Board.
Okay. They probably know who did it then. That'd be nice to get in touch. Well,
anyway, it's a lot, you know, cool. When you can't, I mean, it was just a lot because you're dependent on other people. Like I took all my stuff. I was going to get everything set up during my planning period because that's the only time I could do it. Well, I got there and the tables, they had the sitting tables done. Mm. Food tables weren't done.
Oh, boy.
So I just had to leave my stuff and go. I mean, it was just, you know, one of these things when you can't control what's going on, it was a very stressful.
Yes, it is. But that's also a teaching, you know, for your students, like any of them that get into like catering in particular, or even restaurants that cater, you know, if they get involved in that, you know, you're always having to kind of pivot, you know, you never know what's going to happen like that, like a table not being set up when you think it is, or learning to pivot. You know,
there's a lot that goes into that. And so Monday I come in when it's all, you know, I've got things down to, you know, detailed out. And then I come in and from the breakfast, the Ayers Foundation was putting on the breakfast, and I had the email that said, here's some of the eating restrictions that we've gotten. Monday before Friday. It was like,
I'd be like, looks like you're not eating.
No gluten, no pork.
No gluten.
No gluten and no pork. Well, what do you have for breakfast? I mean, you've got muffins and sausages and ham, you know, all this stuff. Anyway, just a few people. No nuts, no bananas, no, you know, all these things. So
just serve them a bowl of cereal. Well, I guess you can't do that.
I went ahead and put out, you know, I mean, we went ahead and did our original menu.
And added gluten-free,
Gluten-free. We made a gluten-free hash brown casserole.
There you go.
And so I read this was a very good thing for me to show my kids. I said, okay, I'm going to read you this recipe and tell me if there's anything in here that would have gluten that I need to worry about. And I read the recipe, you know, it's like hash browns and butter and cheese and cream of chicken soup and sour cream and, you know. And I said, now there are cornflakes in it that we're going to replace with some cheese. And so they were like, no, it sounds good. Everything's fine. I went, there's gluten in there. What? Where's the gluten? There can't be gluten. There's not gluten in potatoes. And they're going through it. Mm-hmm. Well, I said, you've got your cream of chicken soup.
Your cream of chicken soup.
And has your gluten in it. But I said, look right here. And I had a can of gluten-free cream of chicken soup. Yeah. And so I said, so there are things. It was a good lesson.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you don't think about, you know, gluten. Okay, they can't have muffins. They can't have the biscuit bar. They can't have, but you've got to look at your detailed list. So that was a good lesson. Anyway, and just being hospitable. And I said, look, we're going to throw some stuff in here. I said, when I got that email, I said, guys, what did I want to say? Y'all been right here with me through all of this.
You want to say what I just said on air.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like you're not eating. This is why she has the job and I don't.
Right. You know, I said, but what's my job? Mm-hmm. What is our job here? And they're like, hospitality. Mm-hmm. I was like, right. And so when this person with a gluten allergy shows up and we've got something that they can eat, it makes them feel seen. Mm-hmm. It makes them feel, you know, so all of that was good lessons.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not like you don't want to accommodate them. It's more the timing of the people that let you know that becomes an issue when you're cooking. But it's no problem to accommodate that.
Right, that and being stretched as far as you could.
Right,
you
know. And having a crazy week but on top.
If they're running a catering company, if they're running a business, that's what's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Because nobody understands what all goes into it. Mm-hmm. You know, they just think it just magically appears and it magically happens.
Well,
and
I know. I told you, like, when I had to be the snack lady at VBS for a couple years in a row, that was the most, I loved it because I just got to sit in the kitchen and visit and prep the snacks and all that. But it was also stressful, of course, because you're like, and I hope I don't kill a child this week. I hope. Yeah. And it was stuff like watermelon. Some couldn't eat. Some couldn't have. Soy was the hardest. Like, you're just like, this is serious. These are people's kids. And I can't.
Yes.
You know, so yeah, I that was enough for me to experience that.
Yeah. And then detailing, I mean, it's, and I had in the midst of all this, numbers would change. You were here for that. Mm-hmm. You know, we originally were going to have to feed like 125 people. Well, I had my grocery list made. I had all the details, mm-hmm. what kids were doing this and how, I mean, all that was planned out. And then the numbers changed to, like to prepare for 60.
Right.
And so really originally she said, I've only sold 30 tickets. So prepare for 60. And I thought, okay, I'll prepare it, you know, and then mm-hmm. I wasn't worried about it. Well, then I talked to her Monday and she's like, we've sold, I'm up to like 57 tickets. And I went,
okay, prepare for 80.
And then when I went to, no, it was too late. And then when I went to, drop my stuff off at like 1 o'clock that day, she said, we've sold a few more. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh.
I mean, it's, again, that's the thing with organizers because they don't, they clearly don't understand that you have to stop at some point. I'm sorry. And I know you want to make the money and I know you want to do your thing, but it's too late.
In the end, there was plenty. We had leftovers, you know, it was fine, but I mean, it just was like, okay.
Okay. I could never do it. I could never cater. I could never be any kind of event planner. And people always think, they're always like, you would be so great at an event. I'm like, absolutely not. I can do them for my, but the stress of that, you know, whether it's the decorating or the whatever it is, the flowers, people that do flowers, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just, that's a lot. I really appreciate people
that
do it.
Like the bridezillas that come in, I can't imagine having to do any of that, you know?
No, but I mean, I appreciate people that do it. So that's for sure. So you got all that done and then you just got to just crash. Did you just kind of chill for the weekend or?
Well, so Saturday I did. I mean, it was a good football day.
It was a good football day. Did you get under your special blanket?
I did get under my special blanket.
Oh, gosh.
And my Lola blanket.
It's so divine.
And, but then one of a girl that's grown up in our house, she's been at all the Shankfest and all those things. She's precious. She actually eloped and they had a reception that night.
Oh, cute.
Saturday night. So Ron and I went and, you know, tore up the dance floor.
Oh, I can only imagine.
So it was fun. And then Sunday I crashed again. So here we are at Monday and I walked in today at school. I hope Wes is not listening or anybody because I looked at him and I said, okay. Yes, here's the deal. I said, y'all worked really hard last week, and I'm going to give you a free day. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, I didn't get done last week what I needed to get planned for this week.
Of course.
So I don't have anything for you.
Yeah, today. But making it sound like a reward, like a free day, is a better way to frame that. Yeah.
So, but I will tell you, I mean, I had to do grocery list, all that for this week and get everything mapped out for this week. And it took me about 2.5 class periods to get everything done.
I believe it. Well, they could use that break too. That's they worked very, very hard. So
they did.
I think that's very deserved. They did about 2 weeks of work in one. Good. And so, I have a news item.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard, but there was a break-in at the Louvre Museum in France, in Paris.
I saw that briefly, but I did not have time to investigate
it. Well, I was listening, as I do at nighttime, sometimes during the night, to my BBC radio to help me sleep. And in the middle of the night, I guess it was Saturday or Sunday, whenever it was, and a Sunday morning, these robbers come in, and they came in. The place was open. It was daylight. It was the morning. And this group of people came in with this, like a mechanical raising device, kind of ladder to get them up to this second floor window, this balcony to the Apollo Gallery, blah, blah, blah. Got in there, but like cut the glass through the glass. I mean, it's just like Mission Impossible. It's just like all the movies that we've seen, you know, Da Vinci Code and, or what's that other one? What's that Nicolas Cage? Mission Impossible and Nicolas Cage stealing the Constitution. It was just like that. And they cut the glass and they got in there and they had chainsaws and they got in the displays and they took several of these, basically kind of the crown jewels of France, like these beautiful emerald and sapphire necklaces and tiaras and beautiful brooches and this pearl crown. I mean, they snatched and grabbed and got out in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder why didn't they do that at night? Why?
I guess all of your alarm systems are on. You know, you secure it down, you lock it down at night.
Well, I guess you might be right, because there's question about like the alarm system. They said something about the alarm system. I can't remember what I read briefly, but it was like it wasn't working in that gallery or something. So they're, of course, investigating.
Sounds like that's an inside job.
They're investigating that and something about it needing to be upgraded and all that kind of shenanigans. But it's literally just like right out of a movie, and the audacity of that. You're right. I mean, maybe the daytime, I don't know, but you've got people there. Maybe that causes the panic that helps people be scared. I don't know. To me, I'm thinking at night, it's just a lot, you know, easier, but they got away. One crown they found nearby and it's been damaged, but it got dropped or, you know, whatever. And it's been pretty much, you know, damaged. But, you know, it's so fascinating because these things don't happen that often anymore. I mean, in this day and age with cameras, there's no CCTV in the Apollo Gallery. I'm like, hello, people. Do we need to help you?
What are they going to do with those?
That's always the question, because there's only a couple of options. The most likely is they're going to break them down and they're going to melt them down. They'll be, you know,
tragic.
It's extremely, and as an art history person, it's just like, again, very, very heartbreaking, because that's craftsmanship and beauty and history that, you know, you will never get back. And the value of it, I mean, there's the monetary and the precious metals and gem value, but there's the artistic value and then there's the historic value. So, you know, it could be one of a couple things. I like to think, you know, and I, you know, I, this is probably not correct, but, you know, it could be for some crazy rich collector that just wants them.
Where is Father Brown when you need
those? Father Brown. That's exactly right. What's his name? The bad guy that stole stuff. In that
Flambeau.
Yeah, in Father Brown, there's the jewel thief Flambeau who's always going around. But you know, sometimes there is a client. Sometimes there is somebody who wants stuff because they just want to have it and they have it in their collection. But you know, you're never going to get the value. You know, you can never sell that together, and even
and
separated,
it.
Some people just want stuff in their collections, but it'll probably get all broken apart. It's very easy to break that apart. And then they can even recut the stone. Cause even the stones as they are would be very suspicious. Like, you know what I mean? They know them. They probably have a good idea of all the stones, but they can recut those stones. Can you imagine taking those big and cutting them down smaller?
It's awful.
And then the metal just getting melted and I'm just like, oh my gosh, it makes me ill. But yeah, so that happened over the weekend, jewel thief. And also in other news, my Instagram algorithm is just showing me lots of dead people on Mount Everest.
Okay.
I have no idea why. Am I a super hikey mountain climbing person, Joni? No. I'm not. I like a good leisure. I do. But these aren't crimes. These are the people that die. My Instagram, for some reason, and it's gone down the past couple of days a little bit, but like for weeks, it's just showing me videos of the dead bodies of people that are on, you know, and they're trying to rescue them. They're trying to get them down and remove them. Because literally when people hike Everest, obviously it's a big to do. and they just are walking by dead bodies. I'm like, okay, I don't know, but I don't know why Instagram's showing me this. It is interesting. It is fascinating, but I've had a little too much. So Instagram, I need you to listen up. I'm done with that. Show me something else. Show me jewel robberies.
Sure. Okay. Did your husband show you the little meme that I sent him?
No.
There is a picture. It's a little picture of Jeffrey Dahmer, who honestly looks like he could be Boogie's brother.
Oh, Lord. Bit. Oh.
I'm just gonna say that.
Okay, yeah.
And then it says, psychologists claim that it's a huge red flag if you enjoy winding down by listening to true crime stories. And I sent it to your husband, and I said, you want to tell her, or should I?
How dare you? How dare you? I will disagree and debate that. I don't think it's a red flag at all. I think it's a very positive, healthy...
The psychologist...
habit.
The professionals have spoken, Holly.
I don't think they know what they're talking about, because I think it's perfectly fine.
Okay? Just
so you know. I reject that. I just like to know what I'm dealing with out there, guys. I just like to know. Oh, you did? You just sent it to me. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but what psychologist? It's probably like one that said that. He does look like he could be Boogie's brother, though. He's a terrible one. He's a terrible one.
He is. He's a bad one.
He's a bad one. God,
oh,
guys.
Gosh.
Part of it is because I'm fascinated with the psychology of it. So the psychiatrists and psychologists should just hush up because it's interesting. Okay, I'm done. What? I think I'm defending it a little too hard.
I mean...
I'm okay, I swear.
Ooh,
oh my gosh. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, what do you have coming up this weekend? Anything fun? Anything good going on? Oh, it's our boys' birthdays coming up.
Our boys' birthday. And we called Caleb and said, look, are you going to come home for your birthday? Do you want us to come there for your birthday? To which we were informed that, well, you know, it's Hudson's birthday too. I do. And I think everybody's just going to come here. And I said, everybody, he said, yeah, like Thatcher and JB and John Garrett. And I went, okay.
Yep. It's happened, Joni. We've been,
you know,
we've been aged out.
Never mind that I birthed you.
I don't
that
care.
That I raised you.
That's fine with me.
Clothed you. And,
I know.
You know.
He still wants a present. Don't think he didn't want a pressy.
Mother said, my mother, his Mimi said, well, I don't trust the mail anymore. So if he wants some money from me, he's just going to have to come home.
Oh, good. Good one, Dottie.
Good Mimi.
Yeah, that's
she
good.
Had a couple of zinger. Listen, so the Hitman Bacon guy, you know, we talk about the Hitman Bacon, how great it is. He was one of her students, and he was a good friend of Streety's growing up too, my sister. And he told me he was at that. He donated some bacon to us to cook all these things. And anyway, so we were talking. He said, how's your mom? And we're talking about this and that. And he said, Joey, he said, I love her. He said, I just love her. He said, but you know, he said, I was a little mean to her in school. He said, I high school student. I just, whatever. And then he ended up, we told a few stories, and he said, hey, tell her that I love her. Just tell her I love her and that I'm sorry that I acted up in her class. So I told her that, and she went, well, if he was really sorry, he would send me some of that bacon, that good bacon.
That's true.
And then she burst out laughing.
Oh, she couldn't keep a straight face.
Yeah, no.
No, that's true. If he really, he should put his bacon really, where his mouth is.
That's right.
And send her.
Where her mouth is.
Where her mouth is. And send her some of that rosemary, brown that sugar, maple, bacon. All that bacon.
Man, that rosemary garlic bacon is so good. Mm. Yeah, guys, you can order that online from Hitman Smoked Meats, I think. Just Google Hitman Smoked Meats.
And it's honestly worth it. If you've got a really bacon-forward recipe, do you like my little foodie lingo there?
Look at you.
But you know, something that bacon is like, not just kind of an extra flavoring, but it's like...
Well, it makes a dang good BLT, too.
It does, like something like that.
Yeah.
Like a BLT, or, you know, where it's just like the main event. Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. Well, I had a little more energy today, so I feel a little better. Yesterday, I felt terrible. not to talk about my sickness again, but it's funny how it's progressed through. It's like I was kind of okay, and then it got worse. Like Tim went to go do something. We were going to go to church and all the things, and I went to bed Saturday night a little bit late, and then I don't even know. At some point, he came in and kissed me goodbye. And I woke up at noon.
Yeah.
Noon. And I'd coughed. You know what I mean? You just don't get the sleep. So I'd slept and he went on and saw his mama and went to lunch with Boogie and their Uncle Ted. And just, he had a nice day, but he just was up and out. And I was like zombie woman when I got up. But so that was yesterday. And then, but today I feel a little bit. Still all here, but I have a little more energy.
Roller coaster.
Like, yeah.
I never really felt terrible. You know, I mean, I was tired.
I just was tired.
Working that week because it was fall break.
Mm-hmm.
But tired and just the cough.
Yeah. That's really, that's, I mean, all it's been. Tired and the cough. Congestion.
It's just the cough.
Yeah.
And
so, yeah. And it just was, I had all these things I wanted to do this week, but you know, it's okay. But anyway, this week, the story is I feel better this week. I've gotten some stuff done. Working on inventory, straightening up my whole studio room where I have all my stuff because it had just gotten to be an absolute mess. So I did some of that today and got some more stuff, little Halloween things to go to the booth. And then I got to get ready for Christmas, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I refuse to do Christmas. Yeah, I'm not interested in, you know, a lot of booths and people have Christmas. And that's fine. I mean, it's fine. But... and even our mall, you know, people, they're so great. They're really the nicest people, but you know, they're like at the beginning of October, they're like, it's not too soon for Christmas, you know, in September, you know, get some Christmas out, your fall and all that. And I part of it is to, you know, we've talked about this a million times, but I have so much beautiful fall stuff. I've got real nice fall. I want the Halloween and the Thanksgiving and the fall. If you start Christmas at, and it's, again, it's totally fine. It's just what I've chosen to do. Those people might be selling more than I am because they're doing it. I don't know. But I'm like, I want this until end of October, you know, right? That last week in October, I will, you know, I'll have to get in there and, you know, and get it Christmased up for November.
I have fudged a little. I've always been a, not until after Thanksgiving person.
Right.
And I love Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I love fall and I don't want to push it, you know?
Yeah.
But I will say in the last couple of years, yep. I have fudged a little bit.
I have too.
And putting up like upstairs where nobody really goes. Yeah. I've put Christmas trees up in the boys' rooms. But I just do like white lights and just a few.
Yeah.
I don't do, you know, it's not like the big Christmas tree downstairs.
Right. No, I totally, and I'm like you, I've kind of snuck a little bit early, and that's mainly, and that's fine. Again, everyone do what you want to do, but I don't want all of the work like you do after Thanksgiving, kind of want to be in the Christmas mode.
I don't, and especially for me, like I have that week of Thanksgiving off.
Oh, right. So it's good time.
And so then I don't want to come that weekend after Thanksgiving. Of course, I'm the only one in the family cooking and cleaning for Thanksgiving.
Right.
So doing all that. And then the weekend gets jam-packed with trying to get all the Christmas decorations up.
Yeah.
And it's just why. And then boom, I'm right back in school. And it's it's not a peaceful, joyful thing. Like,
yeah. I think that's really, I think that's, I mean, everyone can do however your life and schedule. And different people have different lives and schedules. And you have maybe family members who will, you know, and when the kids were all home too, we did a Christmas together, you know, we decorated a lot, we did the tree together and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And when they go, it definitely changes the rhythms of what you're doing a little bit. And that's cool too. Like I probably will too, get the trees upstairs, like put up again, stuff that's not in my main area, but if I want to do anything upstairs or whatever, kind of do that a little bit early and just, you know, enjoy that and not get too stressed out. But in my booth, I'm just like, I have fall and I have Halloween stuff and it's filling my, I don't have room to put Christmas and I can, but I don't want to.
I just like the seasons. And I don't want to push a one season out before it's
and
done.
And retail is different. Retail, everything, it's early for sure, just because
it has to be.
You're getting ready, right? You're like in August, people are putting out fall, you know, getting ready for fall stuff.
Hobby Lobby had their Christmas decorations 50% off.
Oh, they always do. They start out with them
like
on sale.
Right now. And we're like, I was like, well, I think you were with me. And I was like,
yep.
It's not even Halloween. What? They're 50% off already?
They do that, though. They have the sales. Like, as soon as they put it out, it's 40% off. Almost like the day, like, they milk that season, which just tells you the profit margin on those, on all that stuff. They're still making the money, which is great. But, So I'm getting the last few little fall things, and then it kind of goes into, I can carry over, like, some of the quote Thanksgiving-y, not super turkey, you know, that kind of themed, but like the serving ware and beautiful platters, you know, there's things that will carry over into winter and Christmas as entertainment, you know, just your entertaining and your tableware and stuff like that, that can transfer over. But I gotta get all that stuff out. A lot of it's already ready to go, but gonna do a big hit on that and get ready to do that the last week or so of October. So yeah, there you go. Time flies. I can't believe we're already more than halfway through October.
October, yeah.
And it finally got cool here. We had storms on, that's the other thing. Saturday, it rained and stormed all day, Joni.
Yes.
I was sick. We had football and it stormed me all day.
So that was Sunday. Well, it hit Saturday night.
Yeah. Here. Okay.
Overnight is when, but Sunday was very cool. And
it was glorious. It was just a steady rain. And oh my gosh, it really didn't have bad storms. They predicted bad. They were like, look out. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh, guys. I know. Yeah.
I'm like, I can't. Just.
Gorilla hail.
Gorilla hail coming in. I'm like, no. But we didn't, thankfully. So it was a glorious weekend. And now it's warmed up a little bit again. But I think we're finally turning the corner. So, yep, that's your weather corner. Do you have a recipe for us this week, Miss Joni?
I have already posted it.
Oh my gosh, y'all. She's so good.
Well, it is. I just decided to do what we are, what we're cooking for Wednesday night. A dessert that it is a gooey, as soon as I can find it on my phone here. Mm-hmm. It is a gooey pumpkin butter cake.
Oh,
that sounds
good.
And this is the dessert that we're going to do. Anyway, so you need a box of yellow cake mix, 4 large eggs, 1 cup of unsalted butter, melted and divided. Your eggs you're going to divide too. This is something I teach in my class is, remember your list of ingredients. That's all the ingredients you're going to need. So not that it all goes in one bowl.
I always love it. And I always appreciate in a recipe when at the ingredients list, they write divided after a thing. Yeah. I always do appreciate that extra help. Yeah.
Okay, so a cup of unsalted butter, melted and divided, a package of cream cheese, a can of pumpkin, 15-ounce can of pumpkin, a teaspoon of vanilla, 3 3/4 cup powdered sugar. You're going to sift that. You know, when you have to make pumpkin taste good, it's a lot of sugar.
You know, that's just a lot of spices and a lot of sugar.
Yeah, here's where the good comes in. A teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon of ground ginger, 1/4 teaspoon of ground nutmeg, 1/8 teaspoon of allspice, 1/8 teaspoon of ground cloves.
All the fall spices you have.
All the fall flavors.
It's going to
be
all in.
A fall explosion in your mouth.
Ooh, it makes me want pumpkin bread really badly. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so go ahead, preheat your oven to 350, and you're going to have to do a lot of little prep work here with your pan.
Okay.
So, go ahead and grease or spray a 9 by 13 inch baking pan and line it with parchment paper.
Oh.
And let that parchment paper hang over the end of the pan.
Okay.
And then you're going to grease the paper.
Oh, my Lord. Okay.
So, all right. Then in a large bowl, you're going to beat your cake mix.
Can you spray? Can you use a spray or do you
spray.
Have? Okay. Because on the paper, I'm thinking that would be hard.
Okay. No, I butter mine all the time.
Okay. It's not hard. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I just butter it.
Okay.
So beat your cake mix, 1 egg, 1/2 cup of your melted butter, which is 1 stick with, use an electric mixer until you get that combined and then spread that batter into your prepared pan. In another bowl, beat your cream cheese, Keep your mixer on a medium speed until that is smooth, and then add your pumpkin, beat until all that's well combined, and add your vanilla, the remaining 3 eggs, and the remaining 1/2 cup of melted butter. Hmm. And then get that good and smooth. Then you start gradually adding your powdered sugar and all of your spices there. Beat till it's all good and combined.
Do you want your butter to cool a little bit? What would you suggest on before it's melted? But is it okay if it's kind of hot when you put it in? Okay.
It's not going to be
it
too
won't
bad.
Matter. Okay.
You're not going to get it. I mean, you're not going to get it so hot that it's going to do any damage. And plus, once you melt it, you know, and sit it there as you're doing stuff.
Right, because you just don't want it to cook the eggs, but it's going in with cream cheese and pie.
All that, it's going to cool. That butter is going to cool down.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, so then gradually add your sugar and your spices, and then spread that crust onto the, spread onto the crust that's in the pan there. And then you are going to bake it until that center is slightly set for about 40 to 50 minutes. Mm. It's kind of going to be a little cheesecakey.
Oh, nice.
And then let it cool completely. Once it's cool and you're ready to serve it, use those parchment, that overhanging parchment as handles. It's going to be easier if you can pull the whole thing out and then cut it into squares.
I gotcha. Yeah. Then you can flatten it on a surface and really and get good cuts.
You can also go back over that once it's out and just sift powdered sugar over it. I wouldn't do that until you're right before you're about to serve it though.
Okay. So it doesn't soak in.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds pretty amazing.
There it is.
I love that. That sounds like a very good dessert and like to feed a crowd or like you said, because it's a big 9x13 pan, like you're not doing a bunt or anything crazy. You're just, that's a really good, that sounds really good. I haven't made pumpkin bread yet. I haven't made anything hardly because A, I don't like to cook anymore. B, it's not felt like fall. I made chili, I've done some stuff, but when it doesn't feel like fall, I just get confused. So.
I just don't want to do it. I've been too busy. And right now this week, I don't want to cook a darn thing.
I know. But to my future self,
yes,
I do want to say, and we've talked about this before really quickly before we get into my top three. you know, we've talked about this probably every year, but this is a really good time to start thinking ahead in your holiday food prep kind of stuff. And, you know, we usually talk about like your baking ingredients, just making sure that you assess your pantry situation now. You know, you know the recipes you always like to make, you know, your family favorites. And in terms of baked, right now I'm just kind of thinking of like baked things, mostly your cookies and your breads and all that. And it's a good time to start buying your nuts and your chocolate chips. And then again, the things that you can space out a little bit because it's expensive.
It is.
It just, you know, if you're waiting. If you're waiting until, you know, it's time to really get into it all and you have to do all that in one grocery bill, your husband's going to be like, what happened?
Yep. What happened to you?
You know, so it's just good to add a couple bags of nuts onto each order, you know, get your pecans, get your whatever you're going to kind of need for your basics, your cocoa powder. I make a homemade, you know, hot cocoa mix. So just go ahead and start just kind of putting a few ingredients on every list. That'll make it easier. And like I said, future me would be really grateful if I did get in the mood and did some good pumpkin breads because they freeze just fine.
Put them in the freezer. That's right.
Yeah. They freeze just great. And then come the holiday, come December when everyone's here, you know, you just pull those out and you're like, look what a genius October Holly was. Because December Holly, she's crazy. She's lost it. She's nuts. Anyway, that's your little PSA. Are you ready for my top three? It's my week, right?
Top three.
It is your week.
Okay. I knew that. See? Number one on my top three this week is yet another set of pens. I'm sharing all the good things. As you guys know, I've had a little bit of a pen upgrade lately. And these are Pentel brand brush up brush tip pens. Did I say these before? No, I did the flares.
You did the flares.
Oh, I'm feeling like I maybe did these before too.
It's okay.
It doesn't matter. I don't even care. I don't think I did. I think I talked about them, but I don't think they were an official top three. Oh, my dog is are you doing? Sherlock's up here and he's jumping around. I don't know what he's doing. Anyway, these are Pentel brand, and they're the little brush tip kind of pens, but they're very little. They're little. You know, most brush tip pens are those big, thick ones that are, you know, good for big, but not for little. They're harder to control. And I'm not great at brush, like I'm learning how to do it. So I'm not really great. So if you're a beginner like me and you're just kind of learning how to do that nice script and brush tip pens, these are great. This pack I got, we'll link to it. I think it's like a 24 pack of 24 colors, really pretty colors. And again, because the tip is really nice and little, it's easier to do smaller stuff and to kind of learn how to do them. So I love, love, love those. Number two, I think I have done years ago, but I don't even care. I'm shameless and I don't even care. Because it's made me happy this week, is the Caswell Massey Sandalwood Wood Grain Soap and Lotion and Cologne. It is making me extremely happy. It is a favorite this week. I got the lotion back out. I started using my cologne again. New bar of the soap in the shower. And I'm telling you, your bathroom smells unbelievable. It's unbelievable. If you like sandalwood, this is the best sandalwood I've ever smelled. Now, I went on the site because I was like, to get the link for it. And I was noticing that I hadn't really noticed before. So they have a sandalwood soap that's like a black color. The bars are beautiful. And then they have what's the wood grain soap, which is the brown. They're both sandalwood, but I hadn't realized that I knew they had kind of rebranded. Like the cologne is called wood grain. It's the men's. And again, I have a spray, like a little tube spray bottle of it. So I didn't have to spend $1 million. but they also have a women's eau de toilette sandalwood. And then they have the sandalwood lotion and body wash. And then, so it's like there's two, and I think I'm going to get a box of the sandalwood black soap and the wood and to kind of compare. The sandalwood soap has sandalwood, smoky, cypriol, and green botanicals. And then the wood grain one, I looked at it and it is sandalwood, cedar, and clove. So they both sound great. The one that I'm talking about that I use is the wood grain brown bar, in case anyone is, you know, but then I use the sandalwood lotion and the wood grain cologne. They make me very, very, very happy. Okay. And then the last thing, I talked about it for half a second last week at the end of the episode. I think I stuck it in our blooper, is I've decided to try some clogs, Joni B.
Yeah.
I know. You would think it's the 70s yeah. again, wouldn't you?
I like the 70s. So,
yeah. Go ahead.
Nope, I do have something to tell you.
Okay, good. So I'm not a big clog. Like, you know, clogs have been popular for a while now. This is not like a new breaking news kind of situation. But I'm not like, I don't know. My colors and my style are a little more clean lined and a little more, I'm not like super granola boho-y, which is what that clog look is so cute a lot of times. Anyway, but I found a pair by Reef, and they're the Reef Vista Sky Platform Clogs. And again, we'll put the link in there. And they come in a few different colors, but they're leather on the top, but they're just very kind of streamlined. And the sole, it is a bit of a platform, but it's kind of it's not like a wood material, but it kind of looks like a light colored wood. It's, you know, I don't know what it is, plastic or whatever it is. So these are kind of like a casual looking, I don't know how else to describe them, slip-on clogs. They're not like a super fancy, but they're really nice leather. And I had to send it back because I got a pair and they don't have half sizes. So if you're a half size, I would say go down. And I went up and they were too big. Okay. So I had to exchange them, and then I got half size down, and they fit really great. But they're really comfortable, like the sole, you know, walking in them, they're just like super comfy, kind of. I needed a shoe to replace my slides and my flip-flops that I really just want to wear all the time, but I figured it's like fall and winter, and maybe I should have something that covers my toes or
something.
I'm trying. So I got the black pair. Imagine that. but they do have some other pretty colors, some browns and some kind of a light pink and nude. They got some really pretty colors. The black, I will say, is really nice. It's a kind of a more of a faded charcoal-y black. So it's not like a super, it's kind of got that fadey charcoal look a little bit. So they're very cool. They're very cool for fog, for fall. Sorry, I can't talk. And they look real good for fog. They're good for fog. Mm-hmm. And they look real cute with my wide leg, stretchy Halera jeans that I wear all the time. You know, they're just real long and wide legged. And so there you go. I've dipped my toe into the world of clogs yet again.
Yay.
Jody's like, yay. What did you have to tell us about, though? Well, you had something to say.
Of the 70s, and I realize I think I've already told you this. So our friend Paige has a Halloween party every year.
Yes.
And Ron and I have ordered our costumes.
Oh, I please take pictures.
We are going as Sonny and Cher. And yes. Ron is Cher.
Yes, absolutely. Because Sonny is short. And Ron and Cher is the tall one.
Cher is the tall
one. So that's what you had to do.
We are, yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we are Sonny and Cher.
That is going to be, he's going to be insufferable all night long.
Yes.
Oh. You do know that.
Yes.
Do you believe in life after love?
Oh, I got you, babe. Is what he's going to be singing. Don't know. Listen, Saturday night too at the wedding, dancing and dancing and dancing, and he went back and he fell back. He fell down.
Oh no! You guys, we just shouldn't. Some things we just shouldn't be trying.
Yeah.
But we do anyway. We do anyway.
That's all I got.
Excellent. Well, that we look forward to hearing all the updates on that. That'll be great. But and until next time, hope you guys have a great week. Hope everyone is having just a good time doing in the thick of it, whatever you're up to. You find some good time to get outside and some time to do stuff that you want to do for yourself. And until then, we will see you next week. Goodbye, Pellet.
See you, Patch.
That's a cute shirt you have on, I'm noticing.
Thank you. It's very shiny.
It is, but it's super cute. It's like shiny burgundy satin.
You got dressed today. Well, I mean, normally we're cooking. And so
I was going to say, it was kind of fancy. I'm like...
I didn't cook today.
That's right. You had a free day. So you got to wear your shiny shirt.
I got on a little black skirt.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow, chicka, bow, bow.
I got on my satiny shirt.
You really did it.
I did.
You did it. All right.